Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year. It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, live from the Auto Forum Studios, and I'm so excited to bring in our next guest. One of my favorite types of guests here on the show are authors. I love hearing their insight and the work that goes into publishing a book. You get to learn that particular material inside and out. And our next guest not only fits that bill, but I guarantee you, you are familiar with his work. Brian Windhorst. He's a featured basketball reporter across all platforms for ESPN for 20 years. He's kind of made a career out of having the inside access to LeBron James. And he's joining us right now to talk about LeBron and his latest book. It's called LeBron, Inc., The Making of a Billion-Dollar Athlete. Brian, a pleasure to get you on the show today. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Brian, I know that today we are going to focus on your latest book. It was actually released to the public, or at least the publication on sale date was April 9th, LeBron, Inc., The Making of a Billion-Dollar Athlete. So all in all, this story to me is extremely interesting. It focuses not only on what LeBron has accomplished on the court, but off the court as well. Before we get going, I got to ask you, the inspiration for writing this book was what?
Well, I wanted to tell a story that was, you know, not a total basketball story about LeBron. I mean, really, you know, the story that 2016, when he won that title, coming back from, you know, 3-1 down, basically leading the Cavs on that comeback. I mean, that was the ultimate basketball story of his career. And I wanted to tell a story that was, you know, relevant, but maybe a little bit different. And, you know, he when he was a teenager and he realized, he's like, man, I really have a chance to be good and special at basketball. He dedicated himself, and he just has great discipline to maximize that. I mean, he worked out a lot. He worked on his body. He started eating better. You know, even early in his career, he was really focused on recovery and stretching and things sort of ahead of his time because he was thinking, you know, even at age 20, 21, about, hey, I want to still be good when I'm 30, 35. And at some point, he had the same epiphany early in his career about business, which is he didn't think he was being fairly compensated. He, you know, he felt like he was worth hundreds of millions of dollars a year to the league, certainly $100 million a year to his team, but he's never been paid anywhere close to that. And so he's really focused on how can I, number one, get ownership of things and maybe someday even ownership of an NBA team, but own things that I'm a part of so that I'm sort of part of the business. And he's been fanatical about that too. And this book tells the story about how he's learned how to do that and how he's focused on that over his career.
Brian, you mentioned LeBron kind of gaining that business knack, and you've been around basketball for so long. You've been with ESPN since 2010, and again, you're around, you know, these nationally known players. At what point in time does it click for these guys that, hey, we got to start thinking about life away from basketball? And in what you just said, it seems like, and even in the book, LeBron kind of, that clicked for him at an early age.
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody's kind of different. You know, I will say that LeBron's era of players just seems to be something that really caught them. You know, Carmelo Anthony, for example, you know, he was doing investment stuff. Kevin Durant has his own media company like LeBron does, was into technology investments and these sorts of things. Chris Paul, very active in off-the-court business stuff. Dwayne Wade, same thing. This is something that this group really was focused on. Maybe something that the stars of, you know, the 90s and 2000s weren't as into, although they all had stuff off the court. The other thing is, with social media being so powerful now, it enables the players' reach to be a little bit farther. You know, before, to get their message out, even if their message was, you know, an advertisement, they needed some sort of other media to do it. Social media has opened up a lot of pathways. So in a lot of ways, he's sort of just acting more like the modern athlete, actually in a lot of ways setting the tone for the modern athlete. I mean, Michael Jordan didn't have social media to sell things on. And so, you know, LeBron's strategy is, you know, related is to the times as well as to his status.
Brian, the book reads extremely well. I mean, it's very easy to get caught up in this book. And again, I'm not a LeBron James guy. I never have been. I probably never will be. But I do appreciate everything that LeBron has accomplished on and off the court. And with that being said, in this book, as you mentioned, you wanted something that wasn't necessarily geared towards basketball. And I think maybe that's why I got lost in this book, because it's not just completely geared towards basketball. And one of the more interesting parts to me is later on in the book, when you talk about LeBron James, eyeing Los Angeles, knowing that his free agency was coming up and the business aspect that it could bring to it. And I heard you recently, just this week, say that the Lakers, they fell into LeBron James. LeBron James wanted L.A. for post-basketball reasons. I mean, that's a fair and honest assessment, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would say is if it was all a basketball decision, if he only wanted to be on the team that had the best chance to win, probably would have gone to Houston or to Philadelphia, even Denver. You know, Denver was begging just to get a meeting with him. And, you know, think about Denver. Denver is the number two team in the West. Think about if they had gotten LeBron in the offseason. It would have been made a lot more sense to even take a meeting with Denver than to sign with L.A. in the first 10 minutes, you know. So for him to, you know, I think the reason he would never say that is because it can be used against him. Like, oh, you don't really care about basketball. But even when he went back to Cleveland in 2014, that wasn't all about basketball. The Cavs did not have the best team at the time. There was family reasons. There was reputation reasons. So, you know, yes, he is definitely heavily invested in the entertainment industry after his career. And going and playing for the Lakers, especially if he's able to turn that around and be successful, could be beneficial. Now, if he was on this call, well, what he would say to you is, well, you know, people are talking about me doing Space Jam 2. Well, I was going to do Space Jam 2 this summer, no matter whether I was playing in Cleveland or Los Angeles or, you know, London. I don't need to be in L.A. to be a media executive, a media owner. And that is true. You do not have to be. But I also think, as you mentioned, it's a little disingenuous. I think he also wanted to live in Los Angeles and have that lifestyle, but he wanted to be invested in the media business. And you know, he wanted to be a Laker, and I don't blame him for feeling that way.
No, I don't either. And Brian, again, you have covered LeBron since 1999. So, you know this guy very, very well. And again, later on in the book, you start talking about the move to Los Angeles. But I guess if I have to ask you a question beyond the book, how different has this year been for LeBron compared to the last 20 that you have covered him?
Well, first off, you know, this is the first time in a long time, and I'm going to go back at least a decade, that he hasn't started the season off with a realistic chance to win the championship. Because even those last 2 years in Cleveland, when he was there for the first time, those were 60-win teams. And they were the number one overall seed both years. They got upset in the playoffs, and they were not a championship team. But every day of those seasons, he was thinking about the title. And even, you know, he started going to the first finals in 2007. So he's been really used to starting a season thinking about playing in June. And I kind of think that worked against him this year, because one of the things that he's gotten used to doing, and he's, you know, sort of geared his entire year around, is setting up his body and his spirit and his mind to peak right about this time, April, May, June. And I think that he is eased into seasons, and even if he hasn't played his best early on, it's known that he'll make up for it on the back end, and most often he has. I mean, some of his play in the early seasons the last few years has been a little suspect by his standards, but who cares when he's leading his team into the finals? Nobody remembers it. Right. But with the Lakers, I think he needed to flip the script a little bit and start with a little bit more aggression and energy, knowing that his life was going to be different. His challenge was going to be different this year. And then he didn't. And then, of course, he got hurt. You know, whose fault is that? I mean, some people have said that, you know, it's because he's older now. Some people have said, well, maybe he's focused on the wrong things and focused on Hollywood, more focused on training. I say he slipped on the court. And yeah, if he had slipped on the court when he was 26, he may not have torn his groin muscle like he did when he was 33 at the time of the injury. I think he just might have slipped on the court. So I really think we have to see what happens next year to see what the Lakers do and whether this is a one-off season or this is really the beginning of a trend.
Brian, I want to talk about the consensus thought when it comes down to LeBron James. And I know you cover 2003, the year LeBron was drafted, in this book. This has always been my thought process, and it's part of the reason why I'm not a LeBron guy. That 2003 draft class seemed to be the year where we saw a changing of the guard in the players' mindset. Players seem to be friends with one another now. They have the fraternity mindset. It's us against the owners. It's us against the front office. And there is a true fraternity mindset now in the NBA. And I believe the catalyst for that is LeBron. And it is the direction that I see the league going. And to be honest with you, it's a direction that I don't necessarily agree with, nor can I gravitate towards. What would you say to someone like myself who has that that thought in their mind regarding LeBron and the 2003 draft class?
I think it's I spend a lot of time around retired players at ESPN. We have a lot of them who work for us. We have a lot of them in on shows. This is always obviously something that's come up a lot of times. And the only thing I can say is this. Yes, that's absolutely true. You know, for example, when Kobe Bryant retired, he didn't have a bunch of people he competed against his whole career sitting along the sidelines ready to come out and hug him and pose for pictures with him because that's how Kobe rolled. And then when Dwayne Wade retired, he had Carmelo Anthony and LeBron and Chris Paul coming in and doing that. And that's true. There definitely is a change. But I don't think that you would look at LeBron James or Dwayne Wade or Chris Paul and say that they're not fierce competitors. You know, Chris Paul got into a fist fight with LeBron James' team earlier this season. You know, I do think that they don't have to be mutually exclusive. And I think the game is in a great place right now. For those folks who would say, well, you know, back in the 80s, you know, you would never let these guys go to the basket the way that they do today, I would say, hey, you know what, you're probably right, they wouldn't. But these guys would shoot you guys under the table, and you'd never keep up, and you'd get your butts toasted. I think that, you know, the game changes, but the game is in a good place. The skill level and the quality of play is there. And I don't think, even if it irritates people that they smile and hug each other, I don't think you could ever, you know, prove that LeBron wasn't trying to beat the guy he was lining up against just as hard as anybody at his level over the course of the decades.
Well, Brian, I definitely love the book, The Making of a Billion-Dollar Athlete, LeBron James, Inc. And again, before I let you go, you got to give us a few more details on this book. It's out right now, and so people can get it on, I know, a variety of different platforms. I have the hardcover book sitting right in front of me right now.
I recommend the audiobook. I like to listen to audiobooks. I travel a lot. The last book I actually read myself, and it took 3 days and it was exhausting. And when I listened to it, I realized I don't have a voice for radio. So this time around, we got a really talented voice specialist to read it. And I was listening to it earlier this week just to listen to him. And I was like, man, he is way better than me. So I am enjoying listening to this guy making me sound like a good writer. When he reads it, I like the way he says it. But look, if you're a LeBron fan, you're going to learn a lot of stuff about him that I promise you didn't know. And even if you're not a LeBron fan, if you just are interested in sports and business, I think you'll learn some things from this. And there's some interesting details and some cool stories that I guarantee you'll read and you'll be telling them to other people, because that's just the nature of the kind of stuff this guy has done.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Again, I'm not a LeBron guy, and I have thoroughly enjoyed the book. Brian Windhorst, I know you're a very busy man, but I do appreciate you taking out the time to join us today. It was a pleasure to have you on and a pleasure to have a conversation with you.
Thanks so much. Have a great week.
Again, that's Brian Windhorst, ESPN basketball reporter, taking out the time to join us to talk about his new book, LeBron, Inc. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back and put the final touches on this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports, and it's right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, live from the Auto Farm Studios.